A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord.
Let your mercy be on us, O God, as we place our trust in you. Let your mercy be on us, O God. Your words, O God, are truth indeed, and all are ever faithful. You love justice and right. Your compassion fills all creation. Mercy be on God. See how the eyes of God are watching, ever guarding all who wait in hope, to deliver them from death and sustain them in time of famine. Let your mercy be on us, O God. Just in the Lord, for praise is the song of the righteous. How happy the people of God, the ones whom God has chosen. Let your mercy. Soul is waiting for God is our help and our shield. May your kindness of God be upon us, who place our hope in you. Let your mercy be on us.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardness for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. shining cloud, the Father's voice is heard. This is my beloved Son, hear him. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Have you had a mountaintop experience? Moses did on Mount Sinai, 40 days there. Elijah did also on Mount Sinai, 40 days getting there. Peter, James, and John did, certainly in the gospel reading we heard today. But it's even an expression in our language, a mountaintop experience is something that changes us. A powerful experience that reveals something important. In most of my late teen years, I did not believe in God. I was actually hostile to practice, not to the idea. I wasn't hostile to the idea, but I was hostile because I thought it was a fantasy. Kind of like I'm not hostile to the idea of flying like Superman, but I know that's never going to happen. Nevertheless, God in His great mercy began to work in my life. I saw spiritual power at work in the lives of friends and family. I became more conscious within myself of a deep desire for what is good, for what is true, for what is beautiful. Didn't know it then, but what I would say now is a great desire for God Himself. I said, God, if you are real, please, there is nothing I desire more than to know you. What could be more important than that? In a story for another day, much of which I have shared many times, God showed Himself to me. He showed Himself as real in my life as He did to Moses and to Elijah. I'm not making any special claims, no more than I'm sure many of us here have known, but God wants us to know him. God wants you to know him, not just know about him. He really wants it to be the defining experience of your life. That's why you were made. That's why you were here. He wants to be as real to you as the person next to you. You can use mountaintop experiences. We don't seek them, and they often come when we least expect them. And God's grace is at work in each of our lives in as unique a way as the genes he gave us are unique. Let's look at what happened at the top of the mountain in today's gospel. Jesus takes his inner circle, the same three disciples he would take with him at Gethsemane. He had the 72, he had the 12 apostles, and then there's an inner circle he seems to have been especially close to. Peter, James, and John. He said, come here with me and pray. These same three he took up to the top of the mountain we saw, Mount Tabor in Galilee. He goes up the mountain like Abraham went up the mountain with Isaac, like Moses and Elijah went up Mount Sinai. And he was transfigured before them. He was transformed. I like to say, perhaps in a Tolkien reference, Jesus was uncloaked. He wasn't hidden anymore. We saw him as he really is, the pre-existent Son, the Word through whom the universe was made. His face shone like the sun, an indication of his glory. The face of Moses was bright in receiving the Ten Commandments and encountering God on Mount Sinai, but it was not that bright. His clothes became white as light, like the Ancient of Days is revealed in Daniel as the angel was described at the empty tomb. Face shone like the sun, clothes white as light, his glory revealed, and Moses and Elijah appeared. These just aren't two names out of a hat. They mean something. The law is Moses. Moses received the Ten Commandments, the law from God on Sinai. Moses represents the law. Elijah is considered the greatest of the prophets. He represents all of the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. And it's also the law and the prophets are shorthand for all of God's revelation in the Old Testament. The law and the prophets is a way of referring to all of God's writings, all of the Bible in the Old Testament. So we have here the preparation in the law and the prophets and the fulfillment in Jesus talking together when Jesus is revealed in his true nature. Peter didn't know what to say, so he just started babbling. Have you ever had your mouth just start saying stuff when your mind was overloaded? A cloud cast a shadow, and a voice spoke. Now, this was the same voice that was heard from the heavens at the baptism of Jesus, and it's the same words. This is biblical emphasis. This is bold print. This is maybe even in today's internet, this is flashing letters. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him. How would you have felt experiencing all this? The disciples themselves were terrified. They were face down on the ground. Then Jesus says, he touches them and says, get up, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Then when they got up, all they saw was Jesus. I've read entire sermons on just these two words. Jesus alone, Jesus only is what they saw. Moses had given the law, but not the power to fulfill it. Moses was gone. Elijah called down fire from heaven and the judgment of God upon the prophets of Baal. And Elijah was gone. Gone in the presence of Jesus was futile striving to obey the law and the judgment it brought. And after seeing Jesus uncloaked and conversing with the Old Testament all-stars, the disciples saw the all-stars depart, and they saw nothing but Jesus alone. Jesus, once again, cloaked. Only Jesus. Peter saw only Jesus, not his silly questions, not his terror that put his face in the dirt, but only Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what God has for us. God has for us to see Jesus only. Not our sin, not our vain striving, but only God's infinite mercy made perfect in Jesus. Did you come to church today because you wanted to see nothing but Jesus? What would happen if we looked at ourselves and we saw just Jesus? What if when we looked at one another, we saw only Jesus? What if we saw Jesus alone in the face of the one we sin against most? What if we saw the blood of Jesus washing our sins away instead of the lies and the condemnations of the one who accuses us night and day before the judgment seat of God? Do you know what I'm talking about? What if we saw Jesus when we got up in the morning and we saw Jesus when we laid our head down at night? What if we saw, as the Bible says, Jesus holding us by our hand as we face the fears, the discouragements, the loneliness, the intimidations of the day? Jesus. Right there. You want to see Jesus only? Then we have to go with him up the mountain. We have to rise above the view that this world gives us. That's one way to talk about our Lenten journey. Getting a better view of the world around us. Going up the mountain so we can be with Jesus alone. So if you want to see Jesus, Jesus only, what's it worth? Is it worth 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day? To see Jesus, to be with Jesus, is it worth turning off the TV, putting down the newspaper, logging off the internet, unplugging the iPod? If we want to do this, the time's got to come from somewhere. Is there that many things that's more important in your life than this? Our minds are busier than a freeway at rush hour. We need to slow down. We need peace in our soul. Our hearts accumulate more stuff than the basement. It's spring. Time to throw stuff out. so we can find what we need. For there will come a day, not in this world, when we will, in an even greater way than Peter, James, and John, we will see Jesus transfigured. We will see his face shine like the sun and his clothes like white light, and in that moment, we will either shout in triumph at our justification, or we will gasp in horror at our condemnation. It is for that day that we now prepare. And I don't want you to be afraid on that day. I want your heart to leap when you see the one you love above everything on earth. And in that moment, I want you to know clearly that it was all worth it. Every sacrifice, every prayer, every resisted temptation, every act of charity, every kind word, every act of self-denial, it was worth it. 1,000 times over, it was worth it. But that day is not this day. Jesus has told us that now is the time to fast. Now is the time to pray. Now is the time to give alms, to be generous, so that guided by his grace, we can see Jesus, not the law that brings nothing but condemnation, only Jesus, undimmed by what we have done and what we have failed to do. Our minds and hearts fixed on Jesus. We're called to be perfect. But if we can't be perfect in obedience, we can be perfect in repentance. When we see Jesus alone, our wills can be strong and our hearts clean. It's not what we see on the mountaintop that will really and truly change us. What will truly change us is how we live in the valley, how we live when we come down from the mountain. We like to visit the mountaintop, but we live in the valley. We have the benefit of what Peter, James, and John saw. What is it we can take with us down from this mountain? We could be like the three apostles if they forgot all about it. It's like coming to church and hearing the stories of the Bible as stories of a galaxy far, far away. Or God bless St. Patrick as tales of leprechauns or unicorns, as stories that are no more important for our lives than the morning dew or the dust of the wind. Could be like one who remembers only Moses. We could be ones who are more fixated on keeping the law than in loving the lawgiver. We could be like the one who remembers only Elijah and quake and fear at the judgment coming on us, or even more juicy, who secretly delight in the righteous judgment of all of the bad people around us. Rather, we can see Jesus. Seek to see Jesus sweating the blood that washes away the sins of us all and pleading for our salvation. As he cries, we don't even know what we're doing. As you come down from the mountain, what do you want to see? Look for nothing but Jesus alone. Seek nothing but only Jesus. That's what this season is for. Don't wander this season in vain. Listen to the voice of his Son. His word is a light to your path. Hear. We are among the most blessed to receive his body and blood. The flesh and blood of God, you need it more than air.